Hello and good whatever time of the day it is for all the listeners out there. Today will be a segment on animal testing. Don't worry, this will not be a hurting fluffy bunnies is wrong rant. In fact, I used to be in support of testing on animals prior to doing some research on the topic. Hopefully today's podcast will be able to help shed some light on the topic for others so that they too can come to a better understanding on the whole situation. Before talking about the nitty gritty, it would probably be helpful to get a working definition for this discussion. Animal testing is the process of using an animal as a placeholder for a human for what is oftentimes scientific reasons. Animal experimentation, as is also known, would oftentimes be illegal if performed on a human being and qualify as animal abuse in any other scenario. These tests are permitted by the government with the giving of very little rights and laws that protect animals. In fact, the largest legislation in America, the Animal Welfare Act, not only provides little as far as rights for animals go, but also completely secludes animals such as rodents, birds, and those that have been genetically modified, making the Animal Welfare Act not cover 80 to 90% of those tested in labs, as reported by scientists. Even if an animal does fall within the 10% that is protected by the act, scientists that violate it only receive monetary penalties, such as reduced funding, and because most institutions that do animal experimentation are privately funded in the first place, the government's legal actions taken against them to remove that funding will not come into effect. And even if the government is funding the research, oftentimes legal action is taken way too late. It's easy to fall under the delusion that animal testing only affects a select few animals, but that is simply not the case. According to PETA, each year more than 100 million animals, including mice, rats, frogs, dogs, cats, rabbits, hamsters, guinea pigs, monkeys, fish, and birds, that's a lot of animals, are killed in the US laboratories for biology lessons, medical training, curiosity-driven experimentation, chemical, drug, food, and cosmetic testing. A growing amount of Americans are becoming unhappy with animal experimentation. U.S. labs are using innovative technologies to spare at least some of the 100 million animals used for research annually. But while compassion and ethics are indeed factors, there's a lot more leading the cause. Scientists are starting to realize that animals are starting to become bad placeholders for humans when compared to the new alternatives offered by advancements in technology, making animal testing not just cruel, but also scientifically outdated. So for a quick summary so far, animals are tested on in labs. Yes, they go through pain, but it is, or as we will prove later, was to benefit humans as a whole, and was worth it. One of the largest reasons for people supporting experimentation on animals is the belief that the progress in the fields that it uses would come to a halt without it. These people are likely unaware of how little info is often received by the experiments. Stephen R. Kaufman explains it best in an interview called "Is Animal Experimentation Worthwhile?" Through examples, broad conclusions can be made through experimentation on animals, such as whether a chemical is harmful when it gets into an eye. But when it comes to more subtle things, such as the prevention of Alzheimer's, such broad generalizations cannot be made. During the interview, Kaufman explains that the Alzheimer's vaccine that could substantially help mice combat the disease would actually negatively impact human patients, and that the 12 humans that they had tested suffered serious brain damage. For a specific symptom an animal shares with a human, it could have a very different reason for having that problem. Kaufman finishes by making a similar comparison to a red apple and a red car. They are both red, but are massively different and react differently. Burying a car in the ground would not sprout and grow new cars, and an apple might not be very helpful on an interstate highway. Animals are often too different to get reliable lab results for the benefit of humans, and trying to conclude anything deep based on animal testing alone would be bad science. In fact, when a chemical is deemed safe through animal experimentation, there's only an 8% chance that the chemical will end up being approved for human use. 8% chance, that's pretty bad, but it does make sense when you look at some studies performed by scientists, such as when HIV research was done on chimpanzees. You see, chimpanzees are extremely similar to humans, sharing up to 98% of their DNA with us. So they are oftentimes used as a reliable, ink with quotation marks, source for animal experimentation. But the problem with the experiment was that even though we're so related, chimpanzees just don't get AIDS like humans do. So the whole entire test after injecting them with the HIV virus just proved to be useless. And this isn't the only case of animal experimentation proving to be wrong later. There was once this one popular diet drug called fenfluramine. This drug was tested on many animals and was deemed safe by all of them. But when it was released into the market, a few high profile cases of heart valve defects forced them to take it off the market because although it was proved to be, these heart problems caused the company that was selling the product to have to recall it because of how harmful it was to humans, even though it was proven to be safe by animal experimentation, showing yet another time when animal experimentation proved a drug to be perfectly safe for human consumption, but ended up being dead wrong. Showing that animal experimentation can lead to having a false sense of security and puts human lives at risk. Yet, surveys suggest that the shrinking group that does accept animal experimentation does so only because it believes it to be necessary for medical progress. The people who think animal testing is required are simply misinformed on the actual effectiveness of the studies, but they cannot be blamed when animal testing is the go-to method for many. Food and Drug Administration of America mandates its use in virtually all drug review processes. Pick any drug you've heard of, it was probably tested on a rat. Animal testing is an ancient method in science that has become outdated and with the necessity of accurate test data will simply not perform well enough to be a reliable source, yielding only disease-ridden animals that are required to be put down and eviscerated corpses from surgeries that have gone awry. That is why it has become important for labs to try to follow the three R's: reduction, refinement, and replacement. If labs try to follow them, then widespread reliance on animal experimentation can become a thing of the past. Thank you so far for listening, and I hope you guys will come back to join us after this ad break.
In our hot tub?
Oh, you guys, there's a jet. Oh, I needed this.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on our car insurance for Geico. We could have been doing this a long time ago.
So you guys stayed at the hotel?
Yeah, we just got married.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm afraid of commitment. You know, I'm being boiled alive.
Oh, shoot.
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
That guy's a work.
Accept the animal experimentations that happened in other countries. So for example, if America was to perform a study, then they conclude that a chemical is harmful to humans through the study, then a country like Brazil would accept their findings. That way, less animals have to be used and less animals are harmed. Another way that reduction has happened in the world is that countries such as Britain have passed things that have raised the bar for the limits of animal testing, forcing the researchers to not be allowed to actually access the animals for their experiments unless it is for critical studies such as for disease control. Now, this doesn't apply to all animals. This acts specifically for chimpanzees, but it is certainly a step in the right direction when it comes to reduction and the reduction of animals in labs. And next on the list for the three R's to helping animal experimentation is refinement, which is the idea of improving the quality of life for animals that are under the care of scientists. This would be stuff such as bigger cages, better nutrition, not keeping them all stuck together, but can also be acts of mercy, such as animals that have gone through extremely harmful testing get put down afterwards so that they don't have to suffer in misery, such as trying out new chemicals that could burn the animal. The easiest way to go about improving refinement would probably be an upgrade to the Animal Welfare Act or more legislation that does similar things. Now, the idea of replacement is probably the most important moving on forward. That's why I invited esteemed researcher Dr. Rubin to inform us about some of the new ways animals are being replaced. So, Rubin, what is being used to replace animals?
One of the best cases of replacement is the new wave of organs on a chip.
What is that?
Well, they're small devices about the size of a finger that are surrounded by a layer of human cells that utilize technology to pump synthetic blood, like fluid, through it.
Whoa, big words. Can you explain what that means a little better?
It's basically a simulated organ.
What organs have they made?
Researchers have created many chips that can replicate intestinal muscular contractions and a lung on a chip with air sac and capillary cells that work like normal lungs. These fake lungs can even get infected and are able to mimic diseases that are complicated effects, such as chemotherapy-induced pulmonary edema.
Just listen to that name. Sounds like a super complicated disease.
Harvard is currently working to create more chips to simulate even more parts of the human body, such as parts of the bone marrow and heart, and there are even plans to create one to be able to mimic brain diseases.
Okay, so most of the body will be able to recreate it through these chips, but what do you guys use them for?
The use of guts on a chip allows scientists to have extremely useful alternatives to testing on animals. They allow for testing on certain symptoms and hopefully find ways to treat them. This also allows for clarity when compared to testing on animals.
Clarity?
When scientists test on animals with symptoms like humans, it assumes that the effects are from the same cause, when that often is not the case. The use of human cells to make these fixes that problem entirely.
So these chips seem pretty important. How do you think they will impact the whole of animal experimentation?
These chips not only get animals out of the laboratory, but also allows for more accurate findings, giving better research results.
So simulated lungs are the future of medical research. Is there anything else that replaces animals in lab?
A new field of research that is often referred to as systems of biology has been expanding over the last decade.
Cool. So what does STEMS biology do?
Well, the field of systems biology is entirely based off of computer models, using them to make digital maps used to simulate organ systems throughout the human body.
More computers. What is the difference between this and this?
Organs on a chip was the idea of an artificial organ that actually contained living cells that would grow and die. Systems use computer models to calculate how certain things will happen.
Okay, but why would a computer simulation beat the real artificial thing?
The best forms of this extends past the simulation of each individual cell in the system and actually tracks each individual molecule. This can't be done in real life. It is also extremely accurate. In fact, the Center for Systems Biology at the University of Iceland has already used this method to model every single chemical interaction that happens with human metabolism, and I believe has begun working on the blood.
That's pretty cool. So it has been a success so far?
This method was used by the University of California to predict the negative side effects on drugs with about 50% accuracy. Being such a new field of research, 50% is actually pretty good.
And that surpasses animal testing by a large margin, doesn't it?
Unlike labs that use animals, systems biology will improve over time with better methods and more advanced computing models, making it even more accurate than it is now.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to talk to us about this.
Thanks for having me on the show.
I hope today's discussion was helpful and enlightening to many people as we talked about animal experimentation. We went over how it is bad and how we have 3 R's that labs should try to utilize when developing their experiments. Reduction, which is, trying to reduce how many animal lives are at stake. Refinement, which is improving their time inside the lab. And we have replacement, which we talked to Dr. Rubin about, and how we can have way more accurate models compared to using just silly animal experimentation to represent humans, which, as we have seen, is very inaccurate. I hope to see you guys again, and I hope you guys have a great day.